I wasn't here last year when you had your APCM. I'm new. Not that new. I've been here for 10 months now, but I'm the curate here, if any of you don't know that. And one of the things that I love about life in England and life in the church is the changing seasons. I mean, if you arrived in England in the middle of December, you would be forgiven for thinking that this is a very dark, gloomy, cold, short-dayed country. But if you arrive in April, well, you've got a different feeling altogether, haven't you? And actually, election time is always around this time of the year. I don't mean country election, although, goodness, we've got that to look forward to as well. But I mean church elections. Elections are times where we take stock of where we've gone, think about where we are, and think about what is to come. And actually, I'm reminded of how the disciples felt. You know, when Jesus died, they were quite gloomy. They were devastated. They didn't know what to expect. But actually, with the resurrection, sure, they needed some evidence. They needed some assurance that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. So they saw him. They were invited to touch his wounds. They heard him speak peace to them. They even were invited to share grilled fish on the beach. Beach barbecue with fish, I don't mind that idea. They're invited to smell and taste and eat with him. The point is that sometimes we doubt all sorts of things as Christians, but God invites us to come, taste, and see. And because he lives, we too have eternal life. So how does that good news, the good news of Easter, translate into the way that we do church, especially at St. Andrew's? I've chosen this verse, unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor, labor in vain. Now, I didn't know what song Mark had chosen for the first song here, but...
Well, I didn't know you chose that verse.
Exactly. And at the prayer meeting on Thursday night, that was one of the verses that came through very strongly, that actually this isn't our building, literally, or even figuratively. It's God's building. And that the things that he builds will last. The things that we try and put together in our own strength, well, actually, that's not going to last. So let's pray that prayer through the next weeks and months, that the Lord builds our church and that our labor won't be labor in vain. It actually goes on to talk about sleep. I quite like that part as well. You know, it says about it's no good laboring and losing sleep over things. Actually, the Lord grants sleep to those who he loves. And I love that. So let's go on then to ask a couple of questions. I've got another slide here, and it asks the main question, what kind of community do we live in? What do we actually, how do we find ourselves actually today? It also asks another question, what kind of community could we possibly live in? What kind of possibility can we have? And you'll notice that there's actuality and then possibility, but centrally, it's what happens with Christ. And so Ian's asked me to talk quite briefly on the last 10 months that I've been here, reflecting on what I perceive has been happening at Marcus Tay with some thoughts about the future. And actually, I quite liked what Peter said. I very much like what Peter said. But actually, if you read Peter's report, the church warden's report, he touches on a lot of what I'm going to say, because, of course, we've all lived through what I would consider quite a tough year as a church. We started off in rather, shall I say, feeling quite bruised, feeling quite uncertain of where God was calling us to, and feeling like, well, what is it that you're doing with us, Lord? And that was partly because a lot of key people, for different reasons, had left the church. I wasn't here. I'm not going to talk into that. But nevertheless, God has said to us that it's not about what was in the past. Forget the former things, but see, I'm doing a new thing. So he's asking us to move on from some of those feelings of real hurt and sometimes even betrayal to the knowledge that this is his church and he's building it. So what kind of community could we live in is where I'm going to land. Christ is central, but I want to start with this question of what we are like now. So what do we do well? What do we actually do well? I could come up with loads of things here. So could you. If I said to you, what three things do you think this church does well? What do you think? Okay. So I had a real problem, and you'll notice from the slide that I've got, you probably won't be able to read most of it, and it doesn't matter if you can't, but I'm just going to mention some of the things that I believe this church does well. Firstly, we welcome people. We welcome people to worship the Lord with us, and that welcome is really important. Marianne, when did you and Andrew come? I can't remember. How long ago did you come to this church? Okay, so quite a bit before me, but actually Marianne and Andrew were some of the first, some of the first people that I met, and they said what they like about this church is the welcome. Fantastic. We also are inclusive, and we involve people of all ages, of all stages, of all abilities in our worship. And so when you come to this church, you'll see a lot of people doing a lot of different things. The band, Soul Bar, Seekers, Messy Church, obviously, the sound desk, the laptop, the leaders, the readers, the intercessors. We invite people of all ages, stages, and abilities to join us. And that's really important. Peter, you've already said this. We are Christ-focused and Bible-centered. And the Grace Course and the Bible Course are two examples of that. The Word, the Bible, is central to our worship. Another thing is that we pray. We pray on our own, but we also pray together. Every service, we offer prayer ministry. So if you feel like you're feeling, goodness, I need some prayer today, you're invited to come to pray. We also have monthly corporate prayer meetings, we have prayer walks, and we have 24/7 prayer days, which again are mentioned in the report. Something else. We enjoy fellowship, tea, coffee, cakes, yes, and discipleship, not only on Sunday, but through network groups. Our network groups are a key part of who we are. I had to put down messy church because messy church is integral to who we are. It is a chance to reach out to families who are otherwise unchurched. That's children, adults, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. And it's a very inclusive environment and jolly lot of fun as well. The art and craft and the singing and the various other things that happen, including eating together again. So messy church. Lots of us are involved in that. Schools work. How many people here go week after week to the school to do open the book assemblies? How many people here are governors of the church? How many people are part or have been part of the soul space or prayer space? So we link to the school, we link to our community as well. Teddy Club, Caterpillars, newsletters that go out monthly, the businesses in our community. Now listen, I'm leaving things out. I'm aware of the fact that I'm leaving things out. I can't say everything, and there will be some people who will feel, well, what about my ministry? Absolutely. I see Eileen sitting there, and she's got her toggle on. Did you spend the whole night up, Eileen? Did you? You weren't? Okay, so Naomi Hull spent the whole night on a sleepover with rainbows. But Eileen, Naomi Hull, and various other people run out different Cubs, Scouts, Guides, Rainbows groups, and they happen in our church center. So we have community links. We are financially stable now. Yes, I can see some dubious looking faces, including our treasurer. What I mean is that we are not in the red, we are in the black. What I mean is that we have gods and we have had people who've contributed faithfully week in, month out to the work of this church. I'm afraid we don't get donations from anywhere except for from our church family. And so there has been some concern that, yeah, those might have been dropping off slightly. Of course, they do drop off when people leave. But when other people come, they pick up again. So God is a generous God. God is a God who says, I'm not about scarcity, I'm about abundance. And so I believe that even though finances go a little bit up and down, what we need to do with finances is to think about what it is that God is asking us to give generously on. And the same thing with anything, give of our time, give of who we are, give of our finances. So we do lots of things well, and I love being part of a church that is growing and moving on. Again, forget the former things. See, says God, I'm doing a new thing in your midst. I've got a strange picture there, and I can promise you I am not going to talk about everything on that picture. But I wanted to bring this picture to you because there will be a sermon at some point where we'll talk about more that's on this picture. But it's an image that a big team of people from right across the Church of England have put together because they've done research on what allows churches to grow. What elements are part of the churches that are growing healthy churches? So lots of churches are shrinking. What constitutes a healthy church? Now I'm going to read out those 8 things, yeah, very quickly, but not focus on any one of them. And I want you to just tick off in your mind, do you think that that's part of what we do, or is that something that we could do better? That's all I want you to do. Listen, think yes or no, and we'll come back to this idea much later on. So first thing, churches that grow are churches that have a clear vision and purpose. Churches that grow are churches where clergy and congregation are intentional about growth. Churches that grow are churches that have clergy and worshippers who are willing to change and adapt. Are we? Churches that grow are churches that nurture disciples and promote Christian witness through courses and activities. Do we? Churches that grow are churches that actively encourage children and young people to worship with them. Do we? Churches that grow are churches with a welcoming culture, churches that build on outgoing relationships or ongoing relationships with people. Do we? This is in the wrong order, by the way. Churches that grow are churches with leaders and clergy who innovate, envision, and motivate people. Do we? And there's one more here. I've already said it, I think, but I might not have. Churches with a welcome. Churches that include hospitality. Churches that enjoy relationships with people in their community. So do we do those things? Are there things we could do better? Of course there are. We think we do all of those things, but some we could do better. Here's the encouraging thing. Healthy churches grow. Healthy things grow. Sometimes you can't see the growth. It's underground. Sometimes you look at a seed and it looks dead, but it's not. So lots of what's happening is happening in our hearts where people can't see it. And I can tell you that churches who invest in loving God and loving one another, those two things, they will grow. People will grow and so will the church. There's a little verse on the side there. I planted, Apollos watered. What? Who? Well, Paul's talking, so he's saying, Paul, the apostle, planted the seed. Somebody else, we'll call him Apollos. In this case, it was Apollos, but we could say Andrew, we could say Malcolm, we could say Graham, we could say anybody, watered. But God is the one who gave the growth. Without God, we will not grow. But it doesn't matter who are the ones doing the planting and the watering. So be careful with thinking, oh, if that person goes, we're never going to be able to grow. Or, goodness, is this all we've got? All we've got needs to be a seed, okay? And with God's love, with God, it can grow. So finally, what kind of possibility can we look forward to? We know what things are like actually. We know we've come a long way. We know we're looking forward to things. But I've got a couple of statements here that I'd love for us to be able to read out next year at this time that are part of what is happening in our life. So the first thing is our church is growing and flourishing in people, but also in the people that are here already. Secondly, we are enabling our community to flourish. Mark's Tay, it's not just about us in here, as Peter said, it's about those people out there. Thirdly, people are coming to know Christ and to walk more closely with him. Fourthly, we are expectant and we are excited about what God is doing in us. We know God is a God of abundance and we know that he's got good things for us. Now, I have to say that there is a fifth point that's not on there, and that is thinking about mission and the church worldwide. We won't go there, but that's another thing, is thinking beyond our borders. So I'm closing with a reminder of the scripture that has already been read. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, separate from me, you can do nothing. He says, I have come that you might bear fruit, fruit that will last. And his commandment is this, love each other as I've loved you. Love each other, honor each other, bless each other. God will allow the fruit to grow and mature. Our job is to do what he's commanded. Love each other. Let's pray. Lord, we're excited about what you've already done, about what you are going to do, about the possibility of what you are doing in places seen and unseen. You are the one who forgives and saves and nourishes and renews. You are the one who died and rose again that we might live life in all its fullness. Come, Lord, dwell in our lives. Be a transforming presence in us and in our community. To your praise and to your glory. Amen.